Amen. What a blessing to be gathered here this morning in this way. Thank you, Brother Allen, for that encouragement that you gave us. I feel like it's very much connected into what I feel the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. As I was thinking a lot about it last week. Let's open with a word of prayer here. Father in heaven, we're very thankful and grateful to be gathered here in your name this morning. Father, thank you for giving us this opportunity, Lord, and help us to commit our lives, Father, to a deeper walk with you. Give us your strength and your power and the commitment, Father, to just wholeheartedly commit our hearts and our lives into your hands, Father, that you can do with us what you would. Father, pray that you would humble each of us. Father, and bless the few feeble thoughts that you've spoke to me, Lord. Pray that they could be a blessing in some small way to these dear people. Father, we love and bless you in your precious name. Amen. So first of all, these few thoughts have spoke to me this last week, and they're needed in my life. That's the reason, I guess, that I'm sharing on them, because I see the need in my life. The verse that I would like to share on this morning a little bit is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. If you have your Bibles there, it'd be a blessing if you'd turn. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. So I feel like in order to walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, it takes what Alan was sharing with us about. It takes a full commitment and a deeper walk with the Lord. I would like to read the chapter here. I kind of wanted to go through the chapter, but that verse kind of just caught my attention. And I, after Mose asked me last week about bringing an opening here, for some reason I couldn't get that verse out of my head. So let's just start here in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before the word, wherein ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So we'll just go through the chapter here a little bit. I maybe sectioned it out a little bit, and it helped me to understand a little more what these verses mean, or how they were used, I should say. Starting in verse 9 here, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Okay. In verses 3 through 6, it tells us why. The why of verse 9 there. For this cause, for this reason, it says for this reason, it was because of us giving thanks to God for you, because of the hearing of your faith and the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. That is why we do not cease to pray for you, in verse 9 here, ever since we heard that. And their prayer, Paul's prayer was to them that, let's see here, and desire that ye may be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And the cause of that, when they're filled with all wisdom, spiritual understanding, the goal was that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. In my mind, that's a beautiful picture of the work of the Lord in our lives. I was blessed by that this week. In verse 7 and 8, it tells us, we explain a little bit there from verse 3 to 6, that was why. And then it was also in verse 7 and 8, as we look at this, is ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. He also witnessed to them their faith, their love, love in the Spirit, it says here. So I was blessed by that, and some of my thoughts were that we can all lift each other up in prayer, and we can pray that prayer for each one of us, that we could all walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We can pray that for each one of our brothers and sisters in the church, and from our heart, I think the Lord will hear that prayer if it's from our heart, and He will bless that, and I think it'll cause this to be a peaceful, growing, vibrant atmosphere here if we all dig in and do that. These things were a challenge to me. So, see if I can find some more of my notes here. Okay, I think I should have probably had a bunch of points that would describe walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. But I think each one of us in our minds have a good understanding of what a lot of that means. We could lay out a lot of practical points, but I think there's too many to... it's a pretty we could go off on a lot of rabbit trails, I guess. But I think the Lord will give us wisdom there. That you might walk worthy is to give oneself to follow. Worthy is appropriately or as becometh after a godly sort. That ye may be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience, which would be endurance and consistency, and long-suffering would be forbearance. And then it says, after that, yet with joyfulness. Think of that. How powerful that can be. And it surely shows Christ's life in us and seems like part of walking worthy of the Lord. In verses 12 through 18 here, this is by no means all inclusive or whatever. It's just kind of how it seemed to me. It's telling us about our wonderful Savior, what He has done for us, His power, how He has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, and by Him all things consist. That sums up a little bit of those verses there, giving thanks. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness in verse 13, translated us unto the kingdom of His dear Son. He has given us redemption through His blood. He's the image of the firstborn. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth. He is before all things. He is the head of the body, the church. And then in verse 19 through 23 here, God's power and plan for us to be reconciled to Himself. Let's just read this. Verse 19 through 23. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If ye continue in the faith, He will present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. That is, if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which we have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And then, verses 23, the last part of 23 there, through 29, it says, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So we know that this is Paul talking here, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up which is behind of the afflictions. Okay. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body, which is the church. And it sounds to me that there, like, he is rejoice suffering for Christ's body, for us, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. He's saying there that he's laboring for this and giving his life that he may help present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That blessed me. You see the sacrifice of Paul's life and his life given to the ministry of the Lord, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. A few thoughts on what does it mean to walk worthy of the Lord. I shared a little bit on that. I think it means in our everyday life, I think it means being a testimony and not being full of ourselves, which is a constant battle. It seems like here in this life, we in America we all feel, everybody around us feels like we all have rights and we all have this and that, and I feel like when we have selfish attitudes and all of the things that we see around us, I don't feel like that is walking worthy of the Lord. And it's so easy to say, and a whole lot harder to do. We see in Genesis 32:10, I'm just going to turn there and read that, a little bit of let's just read that. Okay, I'll read verse 9 too. So we know a little bit of the setting. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which sayest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies, and of the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. We see there that we are not worthy. I think we would all feel that way, that we are not worthy of the least of the mercies of the Lord. But he has blessed us with many. So we see also in Matthew 10:38. This is Jesus' words there in red. And he says here, let's start in verse 7. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. That says a lot. There, I think, the words of the Lord there let them speak for themselves. But there's a lot of conviction there. Another thought I had here in Acts 5:41, a little bit about suffering. It's maybe on a little different note here. Acts 5:41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. They were counted worthy. They counted suffering. They were counted worthy to suffer for His name. What a blessing. And then in Ephesians 4, verse 1, a couple more verses here on being worthy of the Lord and of our calling here. In Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. The vocation would be like the calling. So we would walk worthy of the calling of the Lord on our lives. And then 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 2:12, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. For 2 Thessalonians 1:5. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. And then also in verse 11 there, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness in the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's pretty much all I have here this morning. I was just blessed as I pondered them thoughts that we could strive to walk worthy of the Lord. I just have a little bit of a poem here. It's not original with me. It describes a little bit of my heart, I guess. Lord, give me a walk worthy of Your grace. Let my soul search daily for Your face. Give me a calling worthy of Your favor. Let my heart imitate the life of my Savior. Give me a purpose worthy of Your love. Let my life reflect Your power from above. Give me a service worthy of Your trust. Let my mind and body one that's fair and just. Lord, give me a walk worthy of Your sight. Let my soul bring You pleasure and delight. God bless each one.